So now we're going to cover a variety of different anomalous features in the Eastern Temple adjacent to the Pyramid of Wanis, starting with this one here. This is an underground chamber and labyrinth system. It's known as the Labyrinth of Hotep Sekhemwe, which predates, it's actually from Dynasty II, according to conventional Egyptian timeline. So before the Step Pyramid, before the Pyramid of Wanis, Dynasty II, this was here. It's an underground labyrinth. And we actually just had an opportunity to go inside of here the last time we were in Saqqara because there were no guards around.
We got the flashlight. We got the gloves. I'm gonna do a little assessment of the trash and rubble situation here and just check for snakes and all that kind of good shit. But yeah, we're gonna go down in there and have a little look-see. I remember when I was making the decision to move to Egypt, I was absolutely terrified. But I had the very profound realization that one day when I'm an old man, if I hadn't made that decision and I had let fear dictate my actions, that I would regret it. And I don't like to live my life with regrets. It's locked. Yeah, it looks like a repository for cigarette butts. Underground tunnel there leading to a chamber.
Oh shit. We're okay.
What do you think?
And this is now available on my YouTube channel. It is filled with thousands of bats. Just all of the bats that you could imagine are down inside of that chamber. And this passageway leads to the other side. We'll see the other opening over there. You see that other fence around a big hole on the other side?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll go down there and I'll show you the other opening. And there are transverse passages. So we have a passage this way. And then transverse passages this way that are all below the floor of this Eastern temple, and they run back underneath the body and the core of the pyramid structure. It's a huge underground complex below the floor of this Eastern temple.
Wow.
So now we'll go check out. Scattered around here, you'll see pieces of calcite crystal. And you can see the finish
on this
piece right here, but this isn't necessarily the interesting part.
Yeah.
This piece here.
Where you've got the channel.
So, in the evaluation of components across the pyramid sites, we have conduits or channels that are specifically for the movement of fluids. They're usually deeper channels because the deeper the channel, the less likely it is to clog with material. This channel is extremely shallow and would not be suitable for fluid movement or distribution throughout the complex. So what was it for? My hypothesis on this is that it's a housing for a copper, basically a wire. That this channel, this housing, would have had a piece of metal that ran through it. And that is the reason that this system has been disassembled. I'll show you pieces of this calcite conduit system. So, also another important thing, this was under the paving stones. it was hidden. You would have never seen this component when the temple was in its original state.
Right.
So why, again, feel that? Why would you go through all of the effort to polish it?
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy.
I mean, it is like marble top.
It's wild.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's a lot of effort for something you're never going to see.
A lot of effort for something that was buried under. So these are the paving stones.
Yeah.
This is the floor.
Yeah. And then this is situated underneath the floor.
So again, you have to think about logistics, right? So if your pipe clogs, how are you going to unclog that pipe? If it's buried underneath the floor of the temple, it'd be a very difficult. Unnecessary undertaking. And I'll show you a comparison between the size and dimensions of this channel, which to me don't indicate fluid distribution, but rather housing for a physical component. Could be a metal bar that was housed in there.
And do you think the copper wiring kind of ties into the potential acoustic like resonance nature of the temple sites or as a functionality?
We have seen evidence, even written evidence in the Grand Egyptian Museum that describes these temples as laboratories.
Right.
They are for processing, measuring, quality control, and other additional processes that are related to the chemical manufacturing that was occurring inside of the pyramid structure. So you have your manufacturing facility and then your processing. We have the same thing in modern industrial scale chemical facilities where you have a QA lab where they take samples, they do other additional mixing, etc.
Right.
So this is a small scale laboratory, and it's literally written at the Egyptian Museum. They have a case full of laboratory glassware. It looks like beakers and distillation columns and flasks and all this stuff.
We might have missed that.
And there's
we
a plaque.
The
oh, dude, it's the most obscure case in the entire museum. It's hidden in the back corner.
Just tucked away.
But it has a plaque that says the temples were laboratories.
So I'm going to cut in real quick just to highlight some important points that further validate the idea that acoustics and naturally occurring electrical harvesting may have played a role at this complex in Saqqara. What we're looking at here, these highly polished alabaster blocks with precise conduit-like channels, these were not sitting out in the open. They were positioned beneath multi-ton limestone paving stones in areas immediately adjacent to the UNAS pyramid. Once they were installed, they were completely hidden from view and essentially inaccessible, which means they were never intended for regular maintenance. That alone suggests a long-term, deliberate purpose, possibly symbolic, possibly energetic. Now, the UNAS Pyramid Complex is already unique for its integrated acoustic engineering. You've got dense rose granite, resonant white limestone, and geometrically tuned passageways that naturally amplify and focus sound, both in the audible and in the low-frequency range. Acoustic studies have confirmed that this is not coincidence, the architecture itself is an instrument. And here's where it gets interesting. If we look at the president from the Sahur complex at Abbasir, excavated in the early 1900s, we know that architects were clearly embedding copper conduits into channels beneath the floors. In Sahur's case, those ran for hundreds of meters. And so there is already documented fact of concealed engineered conduits that were part of the architectural toolkit. Now, if we swap out Sahur's limestone channels for polished alabaster blocks, we have something entirely different in character. From a material science standpoint, alabaster or calcite is a non-conductive dielectric. It makes an excellent insulator, protecting a copper conductor from corrosion and even shaping the electric field around it. Copper itself, of course, is one of the best conductors of low-frequency currents, whether from telluric flows in the ground or induced environmental electromagnetism. So if you encase that in alabaster, you've got a guided transmission line, possibly part of a larger network. And here's the synergy. Alabaster also transmits vibration extremely well. In the UNAS Pyramid Complex, any sound, chanting, drumming, even low resonances, would pass through the limestone floors, into the alabaster below, and from there into any copper within it. And that vibration could create small electrical fluctuations in the copper, a microphonic effect. It's exactly the principle used in certain types of sensors and microphones today.
And even at the temple of Hathor in Dendera, there is a specific alcove of that temple that even according to the conventional nomenclature is described as the laboratory of the temple.
Wow.
So they were using the copper wire and the distribution of electric current from lightning for processes and also related to telluric currents, which gives you a more steady, lower voltage current flow. They were harnessing that electricity for alchemical processes within these laboratories. So we're going to follow this channel that stops right there.
Oh, and here it is.
Do another piece here.
Yep.
So this thing ran throughout the entire temple complex, connecting different components of the structure. Unfortunately, we'll never know the original configuration of the entire network because all the pieces are gone.
Yep.
And they disassembled this to pop the metal out.
There's another piece over there by the looks of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So so these are limestone. In the floor of the temple, we'll walk back to the boat pit so we can jump in the boat pits and take a look at that.
But what about this rose granite over here? Is that another channel?
Yeah, yeah. So that's my comparison piece.
Right.
So there's all sorts of... So this is a housing. Again, you remember, this is the paving. This is another part of the entrance into the temple facility where you can see a door closure. So these are hinges for doors. So there would have been a huge closure here. These laboratories were protected, secure facilities that are always guarded by huge doors. Again, same thing, comparison to our modern industrial scale facility. You can't just walk in, you know, unless you have permission and you're supposed to be there.
Exactly.
So these were guarded, secured facilities, and you always see huge doors that are securing the entrance to the temple area. So for size comparison, we see these types of channels all over the Giza Plateau. Did you see the one in the Eastern Temple of the Central Pyramid?
Yep.
It has the same dimensions. Look at the size of this one, which you could easily stick a modern PVC pipe into this, and it would be the ideal dimensions for fluid distribution. But that one, you can stick one finger in there.
Yeah, it's just not deep enough.
It's not deep enough.
No.
This has a nice little core tubular drill here. Now, again, this is another scenario where what were these components of originally? Because they're just strewn about and we have no idea where this would have fit or where this would have fit. This is another piece of it here on this side. So you can see that this was a part of a fluid distribution system within the temple. Where the hell did these things go originally?
Right.
And we'll never know because they were most likely found like this, documented in situ by the original archaeologists, and we'll never be able to reassemble the original configuration. So this is a sliding closure and lock mechanism. If you look up here, you'll see that this side tapers in.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see the locking component here. Come check this out. So you can even stick your camera down in there and get a good view of the trapezoidal shape here. So these pieces taper in and it locks here into the component at the bottom.
You can even see like there's a little, like there was one possibly here.
Yeah, yeah, there would have been another piece here that slid down and locked into place here. Okay, so the question you should be asking yourself is why? Why is there this type of mechanical component on this side of a burial structure? It's not the entrance. We just went through the entrance.
Right.
So this isn't connected in any way to the original opening into the chamber system. So what is it connected into? They refer to this area as the so-called offering hall. They have these offering halls adjacent to all of these pyramids. And I don't know if you saw it where you went the other day, but did you see the conduit system in the collection bowl where you went
the other day that we're not going to say on camera.
Oh, yes. You did see it. Yeah.
Okay, so that system connects into an offering hall on the side of the pyramid. So I think here, you can see this red granite component continues underneath this piece. There's something here.
Something underneath here.
That connects into the pyramid structure. Because there's absolutely no need for this sliding, locking mechanical component unless there was something here that had to be locked and open.
Absolutely.
So again, remember below here, there's a passage that runs from here to here. And then there are long tunnels. I mean, I would say probably half of a football field long, the length of these transverse tunnels. And there's tons of them.
This whole structure has crazy acoustic properties that get even more profound as we go through.
The cinematic entrance into the subterranean structure.
Button and then the arms.
Yeah. Huh.